But if you're disciplined now, you can be free for the rest of your life, right? Whatever free means to you.
Do you know where you want to be, who you want to be in a decade, 20 years, 30 years from now? I know that's heavy, but I think it's really important. Otherwise, you're just going to drift around.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Next Level University, where we teach you how to level up in your life, your love, your health, and your wealth.
No matter where you are now or where you've been, there is a next level. We bring you 5 episodes a week, 4 of which are solo episodes with Kevin and I, and 1 world-class guest to help you get there.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Kevin Palmieri.
And I'm Alan Lazarus.
And we are the hosts of Next Level University. So Next Level University is our podcast. We have over 550 episodes. We're listened to in 90 plus countries. It is a global top 100 self-improvement podcast. And I am also a podcast coach as well as a coach for early entrepreneurs.
So we have 2 facets of our business. It's Next Level Podcast Solutions and Next Level Business Solutions. So I focus on business, he focuses on podcasting. But really what our show is about is getting you to the next level. Everything we do is to help people become more successful and fulfilled. Everything. And there's always another level.
So number one, thank you, Alice, and thank you, Jen, for setting this up. We appreciate you guys. The theme of today's talk is creating a more fulfilling life inside and outside of work, right? At the end of the day, you are spending, you know, a third of your day at work, but you're also, you want to be fulfilled outside of work. You want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. So we're going to go through what we think the most important lessons are, and I'm ready to roll if you are.
This is, yeah, absolutely. This is also awesome because I've struggled with some challenges and addiction and stuff in the past, and Kevin and I, again, we're trying to help people be more successful and fulfilled. That's what we're doing right now, but you're also all trying to help people get to the next level of their life, and you're trying to help them be more successful and design a life on their own terms as well. And so, you know, you're definitely in good company here, and we've got some really good stuff for you. We actually prepped basically all day today.
Yeah.
So this is going to be gold.
All right. So before we get into it, we just want to tell you a little bit about who we are. That way, you know who you're listening to. So you might see us here in the studio and we have, you know, a nice setup and we're 500 and something episodes in, but it hasn't always been this way. So when I was 25, I had, by all outside standards, every measure of success. I had a 6-figure income. My girlfriend was a model. I had a sports car. I had a brand new place. And I had actually just done a bodybuilding show. So I had the body of my dreams. But inside, I was really, really miserable. And that's a theme in my life, using external validation to make myself feel good about myself inside. So you'll hear that throughout the story, but also a lot through our presentation. So my girlfriend left me after my bodybuilding show, and I was very, very miserable. And this is where I initially got into personal development. I started listening to Tony Robbins. Alan and I were pretty good friends at the time. And I started saying positive affirmations every night before I went to bed, because this was like my rock bottom. This was the worst I had ever felt. My girlfriend, who I was in love with, wanted to go chase her dreams. And I was super insecure. I was so insecure. She wanted to move to California and, you know, do her thing. And I was so afraid to let her go. So she left me and ended up, she actually lives in California now. And I'm very, very proud of her for that. So I got into personal development because I knew something had to change. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I felt bad. My initial dip was doing positive affirmations. So every night before I went to bed, I would say, I am handsome, I am intelligent, I am worthy, I am confident, and this year I will make the most money I've ever made in my entire life. Unfortunately, I really leaned on that last one. So I was a foreman for a construction company. Just think of, you know, doing construction on schools is what we did. That's what we did. And I spent a lot of my time traveling up and down the East Coast of the United States, which for me was amazing because I was making a ton of money, but it was very, very hard. It was a very, very hard lifestyle. So as I said, I wanted to make 6 figures. That was my goal. And at the end of 2016, I was on the road for 10 out of the 12 months, hotel to hotel, traveling down to New Jersey from Worcester every week, basically. And I was just, I was living the dream because I was making a lot of money. So I'm opening the pay stub for the last pay stub of the year, and I'm thinking to myself, did I make 6 figures at 26 years old with no college degree? I wanted to be the first person to be successful in my friend group, and I did. I made that money, But the problem was I realized that nothing had changed. So just like I put all my external validation into my beautiful girlfriend in the fast car and I was miserable inside, I had done that again, right? The money didn't change anything for me. Everything was within myself. So I realized in that moment that I had been living most of my life by accident, unconsciously. And later that year, I started a podcast called The Hyperconscious Podcast, which is now Next Level University. Now, the job that I loved that made me all this money then started taking me away from the thing that I was passionate about. I wanted to have deep conversations about limiting beliefs, about what happened to me in terms of making all the money and not being happy, right? So the thing that made me all that money now took me away from the thing that I wanted to do. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and I was calling out of work. And you guys are in Worcester, so you know, New Jersey is a 5.5 or 6 hour ride. So I would literally sleep in my bed from 10 p.m. until 2 a.m. and I'd drive straight to New Jersey. I'd work an 8 hour day. I'd go to the gym. And then on Friday, I'd do the exact opposite. I'd wake up, I'd go to the gym, I'd work an 8 hour day and then drive home. That became my life. And I traded in relationships. I traded in friendships. I didn't see my family. You know, that was my life for basically 4 years. So it's getting worse and worse. I'm calling out of work. I'm not showing up. I'm not doing a good job. And I feel that my calling is doing this podcast. I feel like I can help people. Okay. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And my rock bottom basement moment, the reason I'm here today, the reason I do what I do, I'm sitting in a crusty hotel room in New Jersey and I'm lacing up my work boots. And I've done this 1,000 times before. And I'm sitting at the edge of the bed. And the best way I can explain it to you is there was 100 TVs on, and every single one of these TVs is on a different channel. So I can't really make out anything. But there's a few things that are coming to my mind. One of them is you're stuck here forever. The next one is how could you ever leave $100,000 on the table? Another one is what will your family think? What will your friends think? And this is the big one. Do you really think you could be a podcaster? Like, do you really think you could make a living as a podcaster? Do you really think you can accomplish your dreams? And in that moment, and I always try to put myself back there so I can feel it. In that moment, I genuinely thought the best thing for me would be to take my life. Because if I took my life, I took my problems with me. And that is my rock bottom basement moment of like, it doesn't get a whole lot worse than that. Like, there's not really many places to go from there. Luckily, I had Alan. I texted Alan and told him what was going on. And he kind of walked me off the ledge, so to speak. And that was a really hard day. But it was a day of awareness where I realized, like, okay, something definitely has to change. And 3 or 4 months later, I quit my job. I went full-time into podcasting, into speaking, into coaching. And here we are, you know, 2.5 years later after leaving my job, living my dream. Now, my dream still has nightmares, and it's very hard some days. But the reason I tell that story is not so you guys can have empathy or feel bad for me. I just want you guys to realize that I've been all the way to hell no, and that's one of the reasons I'm so in on hell yes, and I want to empower other people to do the same.
Hmm. So in the sake of time here, and the real reason we tell you that story, or Kevin told you that story, I'm going to tell you mine, is knowing who you talk to, knowing who you're talking to, and providing some context. So I'll give you the very, very short version of mine. So when I was 2 years old, my father had passed away in a car accident, and he was 28 when he had passed away. And when I was 26 years old, I basically, you know, long story short, I went to college, you know, got straight A's in high school, went to college, went to WPI. I know many of you know where that is. You know, was an engineer, got my master's in business, went into corporate America, did a lot of job hopping, started a couple companies, worked at a bunch of different companies, iRobot, Cognex, Tyco Safety Products, a bunch of things like that, Sensata Technologies. I ended up landing at a company called Cognex eventually, and I started an inside sales team there. And then I eventually moved to outside sales, and I was traveling again, just like Kevin, all over New England. So I managed all of Western New England, so Vermont, Connecticut, all over the place. There was this really bad winter, and basically, I was up in New Hampshire with my little cousin. I was actually not working. We were playing Call of Duty. We were going to go to TGI Fridays. And on my way, I looked down at my GPS, and there's this intersection, and it was that really bad winter where, like, basically there was snowbanks covering signs. And I thought the road stayed right. It actually stayed left. I ended up on the wrong side of the road. And I looked up, it was like a millisecond, and I saw the brightest lights I'd ever seen. And 10 feet in front of me was a big lift-kitted truck. And for anyone who's had a life or death situation, it's really difficult to explain, but basically I had that thought of like, this is it. This is the end. There was no part of me that thought I would survive that. Fortunately, I had a 2004 Volkswagen Passat that I used to call the tank because it was like a steel trap. It was like a big, heavy car. Both airbags did deploy. My cousin hurt his knee. I hurt my face on the airbag. But I remember sitting there after that accident, like really, really struggling because I was sitting in an armchair drinking whiskey, just questioning the way that I had lived my life. Because remember, I'm 26 at the time. My father passed away when he was 28 in a car accident. And I've seen the photos of his car. And in my speeches, I showed the photos of mine. They don't look very different. And so I was given a second chance. And that's really huge. I think that that message is really what we're here for. And again, it's like no matter how hard your past has been or your client's past has been, you, like Kevin and I, like Jen, we have a spotless future. And to me, it's not going to be how you died that mattered. No one talks about how my dad died other than me. They talk about how he lived. You know, they talk about all these stories and the impact. So the impact that you can have on others is far more than any of us can really comprehend right now during our life. And really, the spotless future we have, are we excited for it? Are we living our life in our highest potential? And for me, I certainly wasn't. You know, I used to drink too much and too often. Cognex's motto was work hard, play hard. I used to say work hard, play harder. You know, I was super, super successful, you know, well over $100,000 a year, you know, had low expenses and was just really living a life of tons and tons of friends. There was lots of parties and all that. And I just realized in hindsight that I wasn't living a very fulfilling life. And so what Kevin and I are here to talk to you about today is not just to crush it in your jobs, but to really design a life that's a little bit more fulfilling than the one you're already living by making some new choices. To me, at the end of the day, we're here to raise your awareness so that you can make better choices. And that's really what it's all about.
And it carries over. Like what you're doing in your personal life is going to carry over to your professional life. If we can help you get to the next level of your personal life, that will carry over. And then another thing, one of the best compliments we ever got was that we're very heart-driven, but we're also very no nonsense and no BS. So if anything that we say comes off as hardcore, just know it's all with love. It's all with heart. We're not trying to, you know, say anything too mean. We're not like that, but we're very serious about helping you guys. And we want to tell you guys the truth. So we always try to go there.
Mm.
You ready to roll?
Let's do it.
All right. So we have 10 things. So we basically went through the questionnaire and we found trends. And of these trends, we put together this presentation to best help you guys. So one of the things that we saw was time. One of the questions was, what personal challenges are you facing in your professional life right now? Time. I get pulled in many directions between work and family. We very, very much understand that. So number one, if you convince yourself that you don't have time, you're far less likely to search for it. Okay? A year ago, long before Alan and I were in the studio, we were in the basement of his house. Hmm. That was our studio. And this was the first time that we had kind of leveled up. We both had clients. We were doing 5 podcast episodes a week. I believe we both had relationships. We're going to the gym 6 times a week. It was just a lot of stuff. And we said, you know what we should do? Let's sit down and do a time audit. So we literally sat down in front of a whiteboard and wrote out every single thing that we did together and separately throughout the week. I believe there's 168 hours in a week. Mm-hmm. We were doing something for 162. Now, that includes sleeping 8 hours a night. But that's why we felt so overwhelmed, because we really were. There wasn't much wiggle room, right? Now, we're at a different level because we're working a lot smarter than we were, but it was very important for our awareness, okay? Very important. So most people don't know where their time is going. A friend of mine actually said this to me. He went to an accountant, and the accountant said, tell me what you did yesterday. Tell me everything that you did yesterday. And my buddy said, like, okay, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. He ended up coming up with 8 hours, right? 8 hours out of a 24-hour day. So if he slept 8, 6, you know, 16. Like, there's still a full 8-hour span there. So how much more could you get done if you knew exactly where your time was going? Alan and I are very much students of our calendar. We know everything that's going on today, tomorrow, for the rest of the week. Okay? Not everybody is like that, but there's always a next level. So my challenge to you guys, do a time audit. Genuinely sit down and figure out, okay, I slept for 8, I worked for 8, my commute's 15, the gym is this, cooking dinner is this, because you're going to realize pretty quickly that there's a lot of time that might be going unaccounted for that you could really, really leverage. And I think the other thing too is, and this isn't really, this is kind of freestyling, but understand where you're prioritizing your time. I have genuinely been struggling getting to the gym because Alan and I's workload is so heavy. It just has to become more of a priority. And it just hasn't been because there hasn't been enough pain associated with it. So you will get to the point where your time is way more valuable and you'll have to prioritize way better. But right now, I think that getting aware of where your time is going would really, really benefit you guys.
The only thing that I would add to this one, and hopefully everyone has stuff writing in front of them. If you don't, no worries if you want to grab something. But basically, what you value, there's really only two ways. So Kevin and I do a lot of coaching, and I had just surpassed my 610th coaching call. I forget what I'm at now, but the only reason I tell you that is that when you have that many hours, and you guys know, in front of people, helping them improve their lives, you start to notice patterns. And what people value, what they say they value versus what their actual behavior is, and I'm guilty of this. I know Kevin's guilty of this as well. And it's like, to me, look at your calendar, where you're spending your time, and then look at where you're spending your money. Those are the things that you actually value versus what you actually think you should be valuing. And what's the cognitive dissonance between those two, and how do we make those different shifts? All right, number two. So basically, what Kevin and I's intention was going into this, and I mentioned it already, is how can we help them become more successful, not just in their work, but also in their life, and also be more fulfilled? One of the things that I find most fascinating is that we're all trying to get happiness, but I don't know if we ever really defined happiness well, and I'll go into that. So I have something called the happiness framework, and Kevin and I have really kind of designed our life around this thing. So when we've all seen that meme, most likely, where John Lennon was asked by his teacher, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And John Lennon said, "Happy." And the teacher said, "You don't understand the assignment." And John Lennon said, "No, no, no, you don't understand life." While I do agree that happiness is the thing that we should all be after, I think the word happiness doesn't fully encapsulate what we think it does. We never really defined what does that even mean, right? Are you happy right now or not? I don't know if we've ever really defined it. And so I think happiness breaks into three subfacets. The first one is joy. The second one is pleasure. And the third one is fulfillment. Joy is when you're in the present moment enjoying what you're doing. So right now, I'm enjoying this very much. So I'm in joy in the present moment. Pleasure, I believe, is if then. If I eat this delicious pizza, then I will be happy because I'll get, or I will have pleasure because I'll get a dopamine hit. So pleasure is if then. If this speech goes well, then I'll be happy or in pleasure. Okay? Fulfillment is the big one. Fulfillment, in my opinion, only comes from two things: growing to your greatest potential, which is unique to you, and contributing beyond yourself. You know, you guys work for Lake Ave Recovery. You guys are constantly contributing to others and changing people's lives. That's probably the most fulfilling part of your job. I know that's the most fulfilling part of our job, is helping other people. Mm. And so that's the question, is basically like, what could your life be like if you actually designed it around the things you enjoy most and what fulfills you most, not what gives you the most pleasure? One of the questions I ask my clients most often, and Jen's been a client, so she's known I've done this to her, or asked her this question rather, where are you chasing pleasure at the expense of fulfillment? So in the questionnaire, we asked you guys a question. If you could only achieve 3 career goals in 2021, what would they be and why? Someone said work-life balance. It's most important for me to enjoy family, travel, hobbies, etc., making a difference so I can feel proud of the work I do. See, contribution. So I can feel proud of the work I do. That's someone who is designing a life that they enjoy, and it's around growth and fulfillment, not necessarily just what's pleasurable. Okay, it's very fulfilling to achieve your physique goals, but it's not necessarily pleasurable to go and lift heavy weights. It actually kind of sucks a lot of the time. Okay. So the action I want you to take today or this week or right after the speech is schedule 1 hour this week that is entirely based on something that you know will bring you enjoyment and will fulfill you. Not necessarily pleasurable, something challenging. Challenge is fulfilling.
Boom. Strong work.
Thank you, brother.
Strong work. I got nothing for that one.
No.
You did it all.
On to number three.
Number three. It's very, very difficult to build a skyscraper on the sand. You need a solid foundation and you need the right pillars. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about health, wealth, and love. Almost every decision that Alan and I make is based on health, wealth, and love. That is what we've made our lives around, okay? So as I mentioned in my story, 5 or so years ago, I did a bodybuilding show. Now, I was really, really good at all the things revolving around health. I tracked every calorie I ate. I weighed myself every day. I worked out every single day, basically for 3 months. Right, I didn't miss a meal. I ate chicken, broccoli, rice, all that happy jazz. I was really, really good at the health portion.
Jacked.
I appreciate that. But I was miserable. It wasn't a great experience. But I didn't do anything when it came to wealth, and my relationship quite literally burned to the ground. Right, I was so focused on one pillar, I didn't have a very strong foundation. Now, I won my bodybuilding show. But what if I was able to break my days into health, wealth, and love? Right now, that's how we do it. So what if you guys were able to break your days into health, wealth, and love? If you knew every single day that there's certain things I do for health, and let me put it this way, certain non-negotiable things that I do for health, certain non-negotiable things that I do for wealth, and then certain non-negotiable things that I do for love. We're going to talk later about our systems of success and what that means. But every single night before I go to bed, my girlfriend and I tell each other what we're grateful for. And it's about one another. Imagine if you did that every single day. That would add up. Imagine if you weighed yourself, if you looked at your bank balance. That would add up. So how in charge of your life are you actually if you're not focusing on the pillars? There's a lot of things that take our attention. Right? But the foundation of you and your fulfillment and your overall life is health, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, wealth, how you make your money, right? Where you're spending it, where you're investing it, and then love, self-love, your intimate relationships, your family, your friendships, right? That's what life is at the end of the day. So we're going to show you later how to actually create peak performance tracking, which is, we actually did a mastermind recently on that. Jen knows what that is because Jen does that. Alan and I kind of live our lives on that. But it makes you focus on the things that matter, and it's right in your face. It's just something you can check off as you go. I think a lot of people are living by accident, and they want on-purpose results, right? So if you can break your life into things that you're doing on purpose, your results are just going to look a lot different.
Did you want to mention the thing in the middle? Or?
Oh, yeah, I can mention that, yeah. Okay. So the question is, what are you practicing for self-care to manage pressures at work? And this person is doing yoga, and they said hobbies, baths, cooking, and working out. Yoga, working out, that's health. Right? Hobbies, it depends on what they are. Those could be health if they're mental health. Baths is probably self-love. Cooking, if it's a passion, is something. And then working out. So they're doing these things, but are they doing them as on purpose as they could? Honestly, this person is ahead of a lot of people because if that is self-care to them, that means they enjoy doing it. A lot of us, I had a client that said this to me recently. She said, I'm not good at doing the things I don't like doing. And I said, I understand that, but it's the stuff that we don't like doing that is usually the best for us.
Mm.
And it's, you know, that's a hard truth, but it is true.
I think the theme on this one is, you cannot major in minor things. And many people have heard that quote, but like, how many of us worry all day, every day on things that really don't matter that much in the long run? At the end of the day, your own physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health is the foundation that you build everything else on top of, but yet it comes kind of third, fourth, or fifth on our list. Mm. And so I think the important part is like health, wealth, and love. Those are where what you focus on will improve, and what you measure will improve, and peak performance tracking will help you do that. But basically, like, a lot of us are concerning ourselves with things that really aren't the best use of our focus, our conscious energy, our time, and our money. And we're all guilty of that, but how much are we guilty of that? Okay, so Number four. So the question, one of the questions we asked was, based on your current awareness, what is currently holding you back from achieving these career goals? Someone wrote, I need to plug these goals into the calendar, yet there are constantly new urgencies and the goals get pushed aside. We've all been there for sure. So one of the stories that I want to give you for this one is, and the question I would ask is, what's your true north? So I wear this necklace chain around my neck and it's got a true north on it. And I have what I refer to as a purpose prayer, but basically like this is my inner compass. This is what guides me every day. And I tell a quick story. So for anyone out there who's seen the first movie, The Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, there's this one scene that I like to articulate where Orlando Bloom's character and Mr. Gibbs are talking and they see Jack Sparrow at the helm steering the ship, holding the compass. And Orlando Bloom turns to Mr. Gibbs and says, how are we supposed to find an island that no one can find with a compass that's broken? It doesn't point north. He said, it doesn't point north, but we're not trying to find north, are we? And what that compass does in that movie is the person holding it, it points to their heart's deepest desire. It points to their calling in this analogy. And so I came up with this really simple formula, simple but super profound, and it's called hashtag true north, hashtag can I, hashtag never quit. And I'll go through each really quickly. So hashtag true north is, what did you plug in your own GPS? In other words, what's your dream? What's your goal? Many of you told us some of your goals for 2021, okay? The second one is hashtag can I, a commitment to constant and never-ending improvement. I got that from a hero of mine, Tony Robbins. You've probably heard of him. And then the third one is never quit. But my question for you is this. What if you knew exactly where you wanted to go? You were willing to improve as much as you needed to in order to get there, and you never quit, no matter how hard it got. The inevitable outcome is a magnificent journey. And a lot of people think that the destination is not what matters, it's the journey. And I agree, the journey of life is where the fulfillment is. But if you don't choose a destination in advance that's true to you, you're going to end up unfulfilled along the way. And so what's your heart's deepest desire? Do you know what that is? Do you know where you want to be, who you want to be in a decade, 20 years, 30 years from now? I know that's heavy, but I think it's really important. Otherwise, you're just going to drift around. And so the action I want you to take is, first of all, the question I would ask you, do you have mentors and coaches? Do you have peak performance partners? How many people in your life are super growth oriented? And I know that many of you pour into your clients constantly. And you know that you've helped them so much. But my question is, who's doing that for you? And so book a call with a mentor is the action on this one, is just set up a half hour. Hey, we have someone we just reached out to recently. His name's Nick Cavuto. We said, hey, can we jump on the phone biweekly for 20 minutes and just come with questions? We'll have you off the phone in 20 minutes, we promise. And we just hammered it and it was so fire. He's just a way more successful entrepreneur than we are. That doesn't mean he's better than us. He's just more ahead in the journey and we need help. And that's the humility piece. So hopefully that was helpful.
And what Alan is saying is you have to determine what is your vision of success. At the end of the day, the only way to truly be and feel successful is to first determine it. And Alan and I both thought money and that significance was the way. Now, luckily for us, we got it and realized it wasn't, right? But you have to have the audacity to dream. Whatever you want, you have to at least put it out there. I genuinely believe your reality becomes the parts of your imagination you hold on to the longest. I wish I still had, and I don't now, but I at one point wish I had the mind that I had when I was a 6-year-old and I thought anything was possible. Mm. Now, luckily, we are moving towards that now, but I think a lot of people lose that. And, you know, the world tells you what you should be.
Real quick before we move to number five. So when we're young, right, we all envision having our own apartment, having a family, getting married, like having kids. We envision buying a car, and all those things come true eventually, right? I think it's not that we're not having visions. It's that they're way too small, I think. That's just my opinion. But I think grand visions are really, really, really important. If you impact 1,000 lives, and those people impact 1,000 lives, and those people impact 1,000 lives, that's a billion. So the impact you all are having is far bigger than I think many of you realize, and I know that's true for us. I didn't realize it for a while, but we, at this point, impact thousands of people a day, and it's like, holy crap, that's really having a profound impact. So that's just something I want to mention as well.
I should read the thing in the middle, huh?
Oh, yeah.
If you could only achieve three career goals in 2021, what would they be and why? So this person said to master my job, to take the last two classes of the CADAC, and to continue my own recovery work. Okay. So as I said earlier, we're going to talk about a system of success. Right, what does that actually mean? Well, everybody knows what a building is going to look like before it's actually finished because there's a blueprint. There's a blueprint of what the building is going to look like. So I had a client who said to me, Kevin, one of my dreams is to become a personal trainer. And I said, that's amazing. I used to be a personal trainer. I can tell you what you should take. I can help you with that. No problem. I said, okay, how many weeks until you take the test? I think she said it's 6 months away. I said, okay, 6 times 4. Okay, we have 24 weeks. All right, cool. Let's reverse engineer how many chapters there are, and then we'll make sure that we schedule plans so you can make progress every single day. Boom. Now, when it comes to that, it's easy to do. But I don't think a lot of people, like Alan was saying, you know, if you want to have the most successful recovery center in the world, what does that actually look like? And then what are the habits that we should be doing every single day to move the needle on that? It's very easy to do it with small things. Again, when I was a bodybuilder, you go to the gym, you do this, you do this, you do this, right? But not a lot of people are reverse engineering what they want out of life in 10 or 15 years. And one of the reasons I think why is because it seems like it takes your freedom, right? It seems like it takes a lot of discipline. But if you're disciplined now, you can be free for the rest of your life, right? Whatever free means to you. So are you on track right now? Are you living intentionally? Are you doing the right things and moving the needle every single day? Or are you hoping that you're going to happen upon success? Whatever that means to you. I know for the first 25 years of my life, I was just hoping that something was going to happen. And now every day, we have this thing we call peak performance tracking. Okay? So like we talked about earlier, health, wealth, and love. You can literally start with three things every day you should be doing for health, three things every day you should be doing for wealth, and three things you should be doing for love. All right? So again, maybe it's weighing yourself, tracking your finances, and saying gratitudes, or saying what you're grateful for your partner. Imagine if you had non-negotiables. Like, I have not missed a day saying gratitudes with my girlfriend. I could not tell you the last time. I track our listens every day to make sure we're growing. I track my finances to make sure that I'm not blowing all my money, which I have definitely been guilty of. But what it's going to do a couple things. You're going to get consistent feedback. Super, super important. Super important. I have asked so many of my clients, hey, when's the last time you checked your finances? And they hide from it because it's too much feedback. So this is going to make sure you're on the right path. It's going to give you feedback. And it's also going to, you're going to feel like you're disciplined. You're going to feel like you're accountable to something. You literally look at it every day and you know whether or not you're making progress. So three things when it comes to health, when it comes to wealth, when it comes to love. We can actually, if you want, if you drop your email in the chat, we can send you a template that'll have all the stuff. It'll have the percentages. All you have to do is enter your information. Super, super helpful.
So our entire team at the NLU team basically has peak performance tracking, and it's referred to as a daily dozen, and then there's a percent day. So my day yesterday was probably like a 75% day based on the habits that I want to put into my life to grow this mission. But I think that to make this more practical, I remember I was in college and I went to WPI and had a triple. I stayed at Stanford Riley, one of the bigger buildings on the top of the hill there. And there was this really popular website at the time called StumbleUpon. This is like 9 or 10 years ago. And I remember it was honestly, in my opinion, very dumb, but people would just stumble upon, it's basically like webcam roulette, where people would just do silly stuff and then stumble upon each other's webcams. And all my roommates were doing it. And I now think back to that. And I think that's how a lot of people live their life. I think we think we're going to stumble upon a magnificent relationship, or we're going to stumble upon a wonderful career, or we're going to stumble upon a great body. It's not how it works. You've got to reverse engineer things. You know, if you were to go out into a field and find someone laying bricks and ask, what are you building? And they said, I have no idea. It's just a lot of people live their life that way. And I think that what Kevin and I are trying to help people with for sure on the NLU team, our listeners, our community, and now you guys, is basically figure out what you really want and then let's reverse engineer that finish line. And then along the journey, if you decide you don't want it or it's not worth it, that's totally fine. You can pivot.
Yeah, Alan changes his thing every other week. Literally.
Literally.
And that's fine. That's fine, because what you want out of life is going to change too.
As you grow and evolve, so will your goals and dreams, and so will your habits and everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been afraid to tell your friends or your family what you really wanted out of life? It's clear that you want to get to the next level. Join our private Facebook group.
In that private Facebook group, you're going to get around a growth-minded, like-minded community who all have goals and dreams. That way you won't feel alone. You can be vulnerable. You can be understood. And again, there's nothing more important than getting on a winning team.
To join Next Level Nation, just click the link in the show notes.
All right, so number six, there was, again, the question here, based on your current awareness, what is currently holding you back from achieving these career goals? One of them was, I'm nervous to fail the test. Totally understandable. We were nervous before this speech, for sure. We're nervous before every podcast. We're nervous before every speech. I think it's natural. There's two formulas, and I really encourage you to write this down if you have a notebook out. This can make or break a life, in my sincere opinion. Basically, there's two circles, okay? And there's certain steps. So in this case, there's seven steps here, okay? There's two things, two frameworks. One is called micro failure for macro success. And the other one is called micro success for macro failure. Okay, we've all heard about a midlife crisis or different things like that. Okay, on the bottom of this circle on the left here is belief. If you believe that you can achieve something, then you will try. If you try, you most likely will fail to some extent. Okay, if I try to get a hole-in-one on the golf course and I don't get a hole-in-one, I technically failed, okay, because I thought I'd do better than I did. So call that failure. Okay, then when you fail, you get pain. When you get pain, you tend to contemplate and then you get new awareness. So for example, if anything Kevin and I are saying or any of the questions we're getting you to ask yourself is creating pain, that's not because you're bad or we're right and you're wrong or any of that nonsense. What it is maybe it's you reflecting and going, you know what? I honestly could be doing a better job with health. I honestly probably should check my bank account, right? We all are guilty of avoiding pain. It's natural. But when you avoid pain, you also avoid all the lessons. You avoid the feedback. You avoid the scale or the gym or the mentor or the coach. So again, belief, try, fail, pain, new awareness. When you get new awareness, now you can make better decisions. And when you make better decisions, you get better results, which gets you to believe in yourself even more. This is where micro failure leads to macro success. You get a 50 on a math test. One person, this was me, goes, oh my God, I'm great at math. I thought I was great at math. 50, really? I failed? My first engineering course in college, I literally failed. I failed the whole thing. Wasted like $4,000. WPI is expensive. You know what I did? I got more determined. I worked way harder next time. What most people would have done is quit. And again, that's nothing like, I've been guilty of that too. That's just one scenario where I ended up persevering. But if you believe in yourself, you'll try, you'll fail, you'll get more pain, but you'll also get all the lessons and way better results, which will then lead to more belief. Now, here's the one that a lot of us are guilty of, and I want you to try to identify where in your life you're guilty of this, because this is what I just taught you was the micro failure for macro success. I'm going to teach you now micro success for macro failure. No belief, no try, no fail, no pain, no new awareness, no better decisions, no better results. So many people are stuck because, you know what? I'll tell you this. Being pessimistic actually keeps you safe. If you don't believe you can start that company or do that thing, you don't even have to try. You don't have to, if you don't want to achieve a great physique, if you don't want to look good on the beach, you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to look in the mirror. This is going to be a little bit hardcore, but I want to say it. There's a reason Spanx is a $1 billion company. It hides the truth. Okay? Are you a truth seeker or a truth avoider? And we're all both on some arenas. It's just which arena, right? And so those two cycles are probably, in my opinion, the most valuable thing we can possibly talk about today. Where are you believing in yourself enough to try? and to fail forward. We call it failing forward. We actually call it Jeffing forward. There's a story behind that. So if your name is Jeff, we apologize.
In advance.
But Jeffing, we are 550 episodes in. Not a single one of them, including this one, has gone as expected. Not one.
And this is that's the best example in the world. We believed we could do this. We tried. The Zoom got all Jeffed. Right? It happens. It is what it is. Ellen and I got a little bit of pain. Jen got a little bit of pain. Now we have a new awareness that when we create something, it automatically creates a link. Now next time we'll have better decisions and better results. But imagine if when COVID happened, you guys didn't say, you know, we're going to learn Zoom. We didn't learn Zoom, right? We wouldn't be where we are today. So that's a great example of
appreciate you.
Stories. And that's the most important one. You're not giving any credit to me. Like
I do think that's the most important.
I have some important things to say too. I think. Sure. What number seven, what personal challenges are you facing in your professional life right now? So I'm guilty of this one as well. Sometimes I compare myself and that's never good to do. I'm very hard on myself when I make a mistake. Okay. What I do love about this and these answers is this person knows what their limiting beliefs are. Or at least they're aware of them. They might not know them deeply. At the end of the day, you should know yourself better than you know anybody else or better than anybody else knows you. All right? It's super important for us to understand who we are, to understand our thoughts that are holding us back, to understand what our limiting beliefs are, to understand what we're really good at, to understand what we're really bad at. Like I said, this podcast used to be called Hyperconscious. Okay? Hyperconscious is acutely aware. So if you're acutely aware of your limiting beliefs, you'll be able to get over them. So I was talking to one of my clients and we went over her year-end finances and she said, I didn't really get where I wanted to get. You know, I'm really hoping I can make $100,000 next year. And I said, okay, do you believe you can make $100,000? And she said, I don't really know. And I said, all right, let's do this. There's three questions I want to ask you. Is it possible? Is it possible for you? And will it be worth it? I said, is it possible to make $100,000 doing what you do? And she said, absolutely. People do it all the time. Perfect. So I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how possible? 10 out of 10. Love it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how possible is it for you? She said, I don't know, probably like a 7. Why? Well, I grew up, you know, kind of poor. We didn't have a lot of money. Okay. And then just keep digging. I just kept digging. I understand that she doesn't feel like she's going to be successful in business. She feels like she has imposter syndrome. She feels like she's not as good at her job as other people. She doesn't have the best designs. Those are all limiting beliefs, right? So we just dug and we dug and we dug. And now she knows that her emotions are lying to her a lot of the time. I've gone through this so many times. I didn't think I could be a successful podcaster. I didn't think I could speak. I didn't think I could coach. I didn't think I could start a business, right? All of those things. Now I have Alan who I ping all my ideas off of. So that's super helpful. He highlights my limiting beliefs. What will happen in your life if you don't figure them out? If you don't reflect? If you don't get the feedback? Like, are you happy with where you're going? Okay? Imagine if you ask somebody close to you. Maybe it's a family member, a good friend, your spouse, whoever it is, somebody in your team. If you ask somebody, hey, from an outside perspective, with the way I talk, with the way I act, what do you think my limiting beliefs are? Imagine if you got an answer that changed your life. Now, you're going to have to drop your ego and really show some vulnerability and courage to do it. But Alan and I have these conversations all the time. Mm-hmm. We have a weekly check-in where it's like, what is a limiting belief I have that's holding us back? What's a limiting belief Alan has that's holding us back? Right? One of the, and this is why I pre-framed it. If you want to get better at work and feel more fulfilled at your job, it starts with you. We're playing an inner game here. This isn't external. Almost everything we deal with is internal, and that's where I want, you know, most of us to start. I just think it's so important.
Mm. Good?
I'm good.
It's rock and roll. We're doing well on time here.
Yeah, we're going to be all right.
All right. We've got 16 minutes left. Number 8. Ooh, love this one. Okay, so if you could hear us speak on any topic, what would it be and why? Someone said creating a team at the workplace. Love that answer. Absolute fire. The reframe that I would give that, though, is do you have a team not just in the workplace but also in your life? This is something that we've seen a lot is you've probably heard that quote, you are the sum average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. And so a lot of you, and this is something Kevin and I noticed. So before this speech, we took all the responses and we put them in what's called a word cloud. My girlfriend taught me this. And basically what we figured out was we came up with common patterns of words that stuck out. The words that stuck out are work, time, job, family, balance, stress, and hobbies. And so what Kevin and I realized that a lot of you might be struggling with is work-life balance. We get the impression that a lot of you are actually very fulfilled at work, which is rare for us, because I feel like a lot of our listeners struggle with being fulfilled in their careers. I see clapping. I love it. It's awesome. I think it's because you contribute so much. Like, you're helping so many people. I absolutely adore that. And people who desperately need help, and they're coming to you for help. So that's wonderful. But I think that what's important here is to also create a team that you love outside of work as well. And so I have one client who's starting a new business. His name's Tim. He's from the UK. Now, I can tell you from experience that the technology that him and his business have, it's like the whole world needs this. And honestly, if you don't do this, Tim, the world's going to do it. We've all had ideas that we just know the future will have. And it's like, if it's not you, it's going to be somebody. So do it now. And what I told him is this. I said, he basically said that the coaching has really changed his life. And while I appreciate that, he's like, I get on the phone with you every week. You keep me dialed in. We're doing peak performance tracking. Like, you keep me on track. And I said, I love that and I appreciate that, but I should not be the only one in your life who runs a successful business. And so we have this framework that we teach people called the five buckets. And the first bucket, from left to right, and picture an arrow from left to right with progress towards your goals. The far left is the nostalgia bucket. These are the people that we grew up with. So some of my next door neighbors that I'm still very, very in love with in many ways, close friends of mine that I grew up with. Okay, that's the nostalgia bucket. Next bucket, maintenance bucket. This is the bucket of people that you went to high school with or college with, but you don't necessarily have similar goals or core values with. Third bucket, mentee bucket. This is the center. These are the people that come to you for support. They come to you for guidance and for help. I know many of you have many people in your mentee bucket. And again, this is about creating a team, not just in your workplace, but also outside of it. Now let's create a winning team. The last two buckets are the important ones. And these are the ones that most of us don't have overflowing. The fourth bucket. So again, nostalgia, maintenance, mentee. Fourth one is growth, your growth bucket. These are the people that have a growth mindset that want to come to speeches like this, who are doing personal development all the time, always trying to achieve more, become more, get to the next level, but they're kind of at your level. Fifth one, and the most important one by far, in my opinion, is the wisdom bucket. The wisdom bucket is someone who has already achieved what you intend to achieve. They're 10, 15, 20 years ahead of you. So Nick Cavuto, for sure, in entrepreneurship, is 10 years ahead of Kevin and I. That's why we want 20 minutes to just ask him questions. It's all the cheat codes. It's the strategy guides. So my question for you is, which bucket is the most full? And is that actually a good thing? Especially when it comes to your growth bucket and your wisdom bucket. I have one mentor. His name's Dr. Robert Scott. He's 70 years old. He's so wise in terms of knowledge, experience, reflection. He's written 24 books. Like, he's just prolific. He's been a husband and a father and a minister. He's been an author. He's been a businessman in finance. He's done so much. I can just ask him questions and I can ask, hey, where do you think I could be more aligned in my life right now? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What should I say here? What should I do here? It's absolutely tremendous how much insight I can gain from someone who's just been on this earth. He's traveled the world 5 times. It's awesome. So the action I would have you take is get a peak performance partner or a mentor or a coach. It's interesting because I remember at one point in my life, I used to think people who have coaches, it's like, oh, what, you can't do it yourself? And that was a very, very young, ego-driven version of me. I was probably in my teens. Now, I honestly think it's the biggest mistake ever. Mm-hmm. Kevin and I have, when it comes to coaches and mentors, I got to say it's probably 10 at this point.
We're very blessed, genuinely.
Very. That's one of the benefits of having a podcast. You can meet these incredible people. It's just tremendous. So get a peak performance partner, get a coach, get a mentor.
Can I add to this really quickly?
Please.
So one of the things, like Alan said, there was some trends. There were some things that we saw. One of them was stress. And this is something I've been doing myself and with my clients. I think one of the reasons so many people are way more stressed than they've ever been is because of this thing. Right now, like, these are all notifications, right? I get, 100 text messages a day. It's mind blowing. But what I think happens is people go home and they try to do stuff that fills their cup, but they get stuck on the phone. They get stuck on scrolling through social media. They get stuck on checking what their friends are up to, right? That's not going to fill your cup. That's probably going to drain you. So what Alan is talking about here is influence. When you're hanging out with people who want the same thing as you do, you're being influenced in that way. So I would also say check your other influences. What are you watching? What are you listening to? Right? What are you allowing into your mind? Because that's influence. Whether you know it or not, a great example. Alan and I will watch a funny movie and we'll start swearing more. Why? Mm. Because we've been influenced by that movie. Right? So if you're not aware of that, that's definitely something to check in on.
Absolutely.
Awareness.
It's all you, brother.
This is all me. So number 9, self-awareness. We talked a little bit when we were talking about the limiting beliefs here. But something that Alan and I see very, very often, when we're sending out our questionnaires, and we also have questions in our Facebook group, okay? When people answer those, either they're afraid to answer the truth or they lack a level of self-awareness, okay? And I mean this with all the love in the world. But with a lot of the questions we asked, one of the answers we got was none. Like, what's stopping you from accomplishing your dreams? Nothing. I hope that's true, genuinely. Genuinely. I genuinely hope that's true. Or are you just not self-aware enough yet to realize that there are some things holding you back? Or maybe their ego is in the way. So one of the reasons we know this happens, we have a Facebook group with almost 400 members now, and everybody has filled out this questionnaire. And one of the questions was, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you? And we saw 9s, 10s, 8s. We also saw 0, 1, 2. The interesting thing is the 9s and 10s, Alan and I have talked to. Mm. I know them personally. They're not 9s and 10s. I know for a fact they're not. So it's one of two things. Either the ego is not allowing them to tell the truth, or they're not self-aware enough to know where they actually are. So Alan and I have a framework called the Drive to 5. Okay? When Alan and I started this, I was very insecure, and Alan had a little bit of an ego on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a 0 on the 0 end. Alan was at 10.
Oh, yeah.
9.9. What we've been able to do together is drive to 5, move towards the middle, where we're humble, but we're confident. We know we don't know everything, and we're open to learn, right? The 0s are afraid to get a mentor because they don't think they deserve it. The 10s don't think they need one,
mm-hmm.
Okay? It's so important to understand where you are. There are certain places where I'm very, very insecure. When we were talking about business early in the journey, I was very insecure, but I was also very self-aware of that, all right? It's very important because if you think you're better than you are, you're not going to look for feedback, you're not going to ask the questions, and you might not pay attention to the things that could really, really make a difference in your life. And if you think you're worse than you are, you're not going to have the belief to get in the room. You're not going to have the belief to try and really, you know, accomplish the things that you want. So the advice I would give, get in over your head, especially if you think, if you're more confident than you should be. And what you should be is up to you. But when Alan and I get in over our heads, we realize very quickly, usually I understand, oh, you know what? I'm actually better than I thought. And then Alan might think like, okay, we have a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's the way we're wired, but that's feedback. Okay? That's feedback. I can think I am the best podcaster in the world. If Joe Rogan walks in the studio, I'm probably going to get a bit of a wake-up call. And that's great because I want the feedback. But it's super important, especially if you're not getting feedback. So get in over your head. Either way, you're going to take a win from it.
I think this comes down to optimism and pessimism. And 5 is like the balance between those two. So I tend to be very optimistic. I always believe subconsciously that things will just go much better than they really do. And so usually when this speech, for example, I will probably after this reflect and go, okay, that didn't really go as well as I thought it would. And Kevin will be like, honestly, that went a little bit better than I thought it would. So he's going to build confidence for having done the speech. I'm going to get humbled. And so which side are you on? Either way, action is the cure-all. When you take action, I know some people, okay, who think they are amazing. And it's like, you've never even done this before. I have one friend in particular who, like, his brothers are personal trainers. And he tries to tell me about fitness, and he's never once like consistently been in the gym. And I get it, okay? It's nothing against him. I've been there. You don't want to be delusionally optimistic, but you also don't want to... It doesn't benefit you to think you're better than you are, but it also doesn't benefit you to think you're worse than you are. Mm-hmm. The only way to figure out 5 and center, your center, is to consistently take action. Doing speeches often keeps me humble. it keeps Kevin confident.
Sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time, unless he's on the other end of five, which also has happened. All right, number 10, last but not least here. Ooh, I love this one. Okay, so I don't know if you've heard of Pareto's principle. I've taught Jen this several times, and basically, I don't know if it's Alfredo Pareto or if that just sounds cool, but he was a scientist in the early 1900s or late 1800s who basically had pea pods, and he basically found out that 20% of the pods produced 80% of the peas. And so the way I explain this is basically like we wear 20% of our clothes 80% of the time. 20% of this country's wealth, or no, 20% of the people in this country accumulate 80% of the wealth. 20% of this country drinks 80% of this country's beer. So 80-20 shows up everywhere. It's a law. There's books on it like crazy. But basically, the idea here is that 20% of your daily actions are responsible for 80% of the return. And so one of the things that I wanted to highlight here, and we have all these different things on the board from all the research that we did on the questionnaire, self-awareness, daily habits, system of success. One of the big ones was self-care. That's one of the things that we want to bring. So I had a client one time, his name's Alex Hinkle, awesome dude. And he at many times actually ended up coaching me, which was really cool because he's just brilliant. But basically what he said is, Alan, you preach 80-20, but you're living 95-5. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, you're not resting at all. You're going to burn out. And so I do 80-20. So if you have a 24-hour day and you sleep 8 hours, which I highly recommend, that's 16 hours. 20% of 16 is 3.1 hours. So if you want to optimize your self-care, if you want to optimize your rest and relaxation, I think 3 hours is the minimum to really shut down and relax and R&R. Because I've done 95-5 for sure, and eventually you burn out and you crash. And I would much rather have you be consistent over the long term, happy and fulfilled, rather than just working a ton, and then burn down for an entire week or whatever it is. So the good equivalent for this is like the gym, right? You can only lift, you don't want to overtrain, but you also don't want to undertrain. Which part are you on, and are you balanced? People think balance means 50-50. Not true, in my opinion. All the peak performance I've studied, all the people we've interviewed, all the coaching I've done, balance is not 50-50. I think it's 80-20. Which side of 80-20 do you want to be on? And are you resting for a full 3 hours per day on average? And if not, why not? So the action I want you to take before we wrap up here is schedule your R&R for next week. You probably have sessions with your clients on your calendar, but do you have silence between the notes? That's what I call it. Silence between the notes that makes the music. If I'm not taking rest after this, at least a little bit before my next call, which I think is at 5:30, then that's a mistake. I gotta flush the old to make room for the new, and that's kind of calculated. So
as we talked about the peak performance tracking, the system of success, one of my clients literally has take a bath. That's one of her things because she won't do the self-care unless it's on there. I think that we live in this society, yes, hustle, 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 and grind, but not 24 hours a day. You got to get your rest. You got to do stuff that fills your cup, because if not, you're going to burn out. Mm. You're going to burn out. We very rarely get consistent 100% days on our system, right? Very rarely does that happen. It's not super realistic. So I love what Alan's saying, because a year ago, Alan would not be saying this. So it's very interesting, but I definitely second it.
I had like a 4-month stretch with 100% days, and we got to go here in a minute, but I ended up really, it was my girlfriend's birthday. I took her to Newport and I was like, I just don't feel good about myself. I feel off. I feel burnt out. And I realized that I was just all work, no play. And it got to me over time. And so we got to be very hyper-conscious and aligned along the way. And hopefully that this PowerPoint, this presentation, this thing here today has helped you. The last thing I want to say with the last minute here is this. No one else can tell you how you should live your life. I just, out of all the studying I've done in the personal development industry, this person's saying this and this person's saying this. And it's like, honestly, there is no one size fits all approach to fulfillment or success. Mm. All I can tell you, and that's why everything's a drive to five. What is your five? What is your center? Because you can work too hard or too little. You can R&R too much or too little. It's what is your center? And what's the finish line that you want to reverse engineer, and what's your life? So I think that's the thing, is design a life on your own terms and don't let anyone else tell you how you should or shouldn't live it. I think we can raise your awareness so you can maybe make a better choice or find your center. But at the end of the day, don't take what we said and just apply it. Figure out what it is unique to you.
And the biggest difference between who you are and who you really want to be is going to be your habits. So if you can make a positive change in your habits, whether it's everything we said, whether it's one thing we said, maybe it's nothing we said, but it's something that your awareness was raised to, that's the goal. That's the goal. You dig?
Good to go.
We appreciate you guys so, so very much. We're sorry about the technical jeffings, but we want to have you off here on time. Thank you for the opportunity. Nothing but love for you guys.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Jen. Thank you all. Reach out anytime on Instagram. Oh, we got claps going. Thank you all so, so much. Please reach out.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you as always for joining us for another episode of Next Level University.
One podcast episode can change your life forever. If you got value from this episode, please share it with someone you care about deeply.
And we will talk to you on the next one.